my church, the Syrian Orthodox Church of Antioch, is very much present here in the Swedish society in big numbers. Actually, I'm told we are the second church in terms of numbers after the Church of Sweden now. We have two dioceses here, two bishops, and several clergy parishes, and over 100, probably 150,000 people, members of the church.
Han är patriark för Antiochia och hela östern. Hans helighet mor Ignatius Afrem den andra leder syrisk-ortodoxa kyrkan i Sverige. Ett samfund som etablerade sig här under tidigt 70-tal när människor från södra Turkiet, Libanon och norra Syrien emigrerade hit.
I'm very happy and proud to see our people, especially the young people, Syriac Orthodox people here in Sweden, very much being part of this Swedish society, integrated in a very nice way, without, of course, abandoning their culture, their identity, but also adopting what's nice here, and there's so many nice things, of course. So I'm happy to see that happening, actually. And their presence today in this event here and in the whole week, both as clergy, the bishops and the clergy, but also the young people are around and helping with the organization, gives me very good hope that as a church here in Sweden, we will have a long life as a Syriac Orthodox Church, but also as very much part of the Swedish society, of Christendom in Sweden, and that makes me very proud. And I know our people are very faithful to their church, to their country. They chose Sweden as their own country. They chose Sweden to be their own homeland. And I know they will contribute to this country, because they are benefiting also from this country. So God bless Sweden, the churches in Sweden, and I look forward to always coming back and visiting this beautiful country.
2014 valdes han till den 123:e patriarken i den syrisk-ortodoxa kyrkan. Som kyrkans överhuvud besöker han sina medlemmar utspridda över olika länder, och i Sverige har han varit många gånger. Senast i augusti när han deltog i Ekumeniska veckan i Stockholm, ett arrangemang som kyrkorna i Sveriges kristna råd stod bakom, som samlade många internationella gäster och kyrkoledare för att högtidlighålla två stora ekumeniska möten. Stockholmsmötet 1925 och kyrkomötet i Nicaea år 325 efter Kristus.
We are here to commemorate the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, which brought the church together in the 4th century in 325 AD, brought the church that was coming out of pain and persecution, wounded church physically. Many bishops were actually physically wounded, and they had their wounds when they came to the meeting, but also spiritually, because new teachings were coming out, and teachings that were against the faith that was given to us by the holy apostles. So the church felt the need to come together and to heal itself, and also to define and to articulate the faith once and for all, so that no new teachings are affecting the faith. And that's when we had the creed, which we still recite every day in our prayers. And then the second event, which is all equally very important, and that is the Stockholm Conference of 1925, through the vision and efforts of the late Archbishop of Stockholm of the Church of Sweden, Nathan Söderblom. Church representatives and theologians came together in hundreds, came together again to talk about the world, not only the church, but also the world, the wounded world that was coming out from the First World War with a lot of destruction and death. And they saw the need to come together as a representative of churches to talk about healing, also healing the church, but also healing the world. And that's how they tried to explain to the people that the church has a responsibility in what happened, because we don't always stand with the truth and the justice. Sometimes the church becomes compromised in certain ways by civil authorities. So the church confessed that in Stockholm, but also went beyond that, and they started talking about how to preserve the faith and to put the faith in action.
För patriark Afrem den andre var det viktigt att komma till Stockholm och delta i ekumeniska veckan. Och han tror att sammankomster som dessa kan påminna kyrkorna om och inspirera dem till att arbeta för kyrkans enhet.
These meetings happened to safeguard the unity of the church, but also to work towards healing the wounds of the churches and the peoples. So commemorating these events, by living, by organizing this ecumenical week here in Sweden, we are giving a push to the entire Christian world, and reminding everyone that we as church should not be content and satisfied where we are. We should always work harder and harder to arrive at the full communion among all churches, the visible unity, the unity of the church which Christ prayed for, because he knew there would be divisions. So to work towards the unity of the church, and also to strengthen our role in the world that we live in, to be true witnesses and strong witnesses of our Lord in the world that we live among the non-Christians also. So I took this opportunity of being invited to come, and I thought it's important for me to come and to be part of this.
Under ekumeniska veckan bjöd socialminister Jakob Forssmed in flera av kyrkoledarna till ett lunchmöte i Rosenbad. Patriarken gav ministern en beskrivning av läget i Syrien, inte minst av de kristnas utsatta situation där allt fler lämnar landet. Och han vädjade till Sverige och till det internationella samfundet att stå vid syriernas sida i denna svåra tid.
I gave a brief description of what's happening there in terms of the suffering of the people, the uncertainties of the people, especially the Christians, of what's happening there. They don't know what's going to happen to them. And many of them are leaving the country, unfortunately, in big numbers. But also is to request Sweden and the international community at large to accompany us Syrians in this difficult time, and to help our new government to be able to bring everybody together. We still have feeling that we are not all included in the efforts to rebuild Syria. And my message is basically that we Christians want to stay in Syria. We don't want to leave Syria. This is our homeland for not only from the beginning of Christianity, even before that, we are the indigenous people of Syria. We want to stay there. But for us to stay, we need security, and we need also help to provide for the people, because there's poverty. It's unbearable. I think about 90% of the people are under the poverty line. So we need the government to work with the Syrian, I mean the Swedish and other governments, to work with the Syrian government to help them. But also we need the Swedish churches and organizations to work with the local churches there, to help Christians to be able to survive there. And by helping Christians, you are actually helping everyone in Syria, because we Christians there serve everybody, not only our own flock, but everyone who is in need, because that's part of our nature as a church, to be in the service of the entire world, not only of our own. My neighbor is every human being, not only my physical neighbor.
Under sin vistelse i augusti passade patriarken på att besöka några av syrisk-ortodoxa kyrkans 48 lokala församlingar.
As a father of this flock and as a patriarch of this church, it's my obligation also to be with my people who are here in Sweden.
En viktig uppgift, förutom att möta och stödja de syrisk-ortodoxa kyrkorna i Sverige, var att inspirera dem till att bidra med resurser till det kloster som samfundet håller på att bygga.
It's called the Monastery of the Holy Cross. A beautiful building is coming up now on the road between Nyköping and Norrköping. Mm-hmm. Right now we have a smaller building for the monks, and they have been very productive in that small building in terms of publishing books, translating from Syriac, contacting the young people, talking to them both online but also physically, visiting the parishes, because we feel that our young people here in Sweden need to be nourished spiritually, and it's our duty as a hierarchy of the church to make that happen. So I'm very happy to be able to come and to talk to the people and encourage them to contribute to that. So maybe on the day of the Holy Cross on September 14th, next year, maybe we'll be finished and we'll come and consecrate and the church and inaugurate the building.
Just unga människors tro är något som patriarken bär nära sitt hjärta. Och det som gjorde starkast intryck på honom under ekumeniska veckan var mötet med de många ungdomarna på fredsfestivalen i Kungsträdgården. Något som han blev uppmuntrad av och som fick honom att ompröva sin syn på hur kyrkan i väst ser ut och utvecklas.
Are there any special insights or impressions that you will, Your Holiness, take with you from this week?
Yes, actually, especially from today's event. I was here in the public square, in the King's Garden, it's called, and I was very impressed to see such a large number of young people. This is this changes our information about Christianity in the West, because usually we think it's going down, but now seeing these young people in their hundreds, probably thousands, coming together and responding to the hymns, and even sitting quietly listening to me, which was impressive. So seeing this gives me great hope that Christianity not only will not die, but it will actually rise up again, and move the hearts of the people.
Samtidigt poängterar patriark Afrem den andra att inget kan tas för givet. Det är mycket som konkurrerar om unga människors tid, intresse och engagemang, och för att de ska kunna bygga en tro som håller i längden, som rustar dem att en dag ta över ledarskapet, så menar patriarken att kyrkan måste vara tydlig med att tron också kostar på. Och att man kan få utstå prövningar och lidanden som Kristi efterföljare.
There is no doubt that the church has very strong competitors in this. The secular world, the new ideologies are competing with the church, and even sometimes the school systems and the sports and things like that. Of course, the young people need all these, but they need also faith. And we do not help the youth if we try to delude the faith, give them the simple thing, the what is acceptable. That's not the right way. The faith will never be popular thing. Faith is always the difficult, the narrow path, the narrow gate that Christ talked about. It will not be the wide one. So we have to be honest with ourselves, to tell the young people this is Christian life. It's difficult life. It's not easy, but it has to be taken with joy, to be lived with joy, because knowing there is reward. There is reward at the end. So we should not try to make it too easy for them in order to bring them as, you know, numbers, but then we lose the depth of the faith and the depth of the spirituality. We need to work on that. We need to tell them, no, as a Christian, you will suffer in the world. Christ said, in the world, you will have tribulation, you will have suffering, persecution. He did not promise us joy and comfort. But he said also, I'm with you, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I have won for you. I have conquered the world for you. So if you are with me, you will conquer also. We have to stress this to our young people.
And how do we do that?
By educating them, by talking to them about the difficulties we face as Christians, by going back to the church history, to the church fathers. I know in the West, in the mainly Protestant churches, church fathers do not play a significant role. But let's go back and read what they wrote about Christian life, about suffering, about joy, about salvation, other things. So we have to keep the young people engaged, bring them to the church, but try to make them aware that being a Christ follower, a follower of Christ, you are putting yourself in the against the devil, and the devil will fight with you in different ways. Be prepared for that. Our arms, our weapons are spiritual weapons, are the word of God, prayer, for us sacraments also, and trying to live a Christian life in this world.